Reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord, the Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Charles. It's quite funny, isn't it? Last time we were here, youth-led service, we had all the sofas and all the young people that side, and then some of the young people said this morning, why don't you put the sofas at the front? So I did, and no one sat on them. Although technically you are on the front row, Bronwyn, so I'm going to do that, because then I'm not quite so far back. Oh, James, you've done it. Thank you very much. Let me introduce myself. If you don't already know me, I'm Andy. I'm the youth mission leader here. That means I get to be a constant teenager, basically. And as I was preparing for tonight, I overheard some of the clergy talking, and I got quizzical, and I wondered what on earth they were going on about. So I thought, I know. So we're talking about some candles and Candlemas, and I thought, I know, I'll Google it. So I did. Don't Google it, because it's not strictly what Candlemas is. What came up for me was a doom metal band from Sweden from the late 90s. And I continued to search on Google trying to find something to help me understand what on earth Candlemas was. I resulted in texting Rob going, help! But it was a bit weird. But actually what I realised that it's just something a little bit different that we don't necessarily do at Christ the King. But we're not thinking about doom metal bands or blessing candles tonight. We're actually thinking about the presentation of Jesus. And within Jewish law, technology's working for once. Within Jewish law, after a child was born, the mother and the child are required to take part in certain activities and ceremonies to declare them clean and that the child dedicated to God. That's the point at which we pick up one of the few points about the account and the story of Jesus as a child, not as an adult. One that confirms promises made by God through prophecy. You're not meant to see the tiny text. If you want to see the tiny text, you're welcome to try and read it. But it was just there, just to show what we're going to talk about first, the law versus grace. And there's this, so we find this guy called Simeon. He's been informed by the Holy Spirit that he will see the coming Messiah. As it tells us in the passage, he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit and loyal, committed man. Simeon confirmed God's promises both to him and all people when he received Jesus in the temple because of Jewish law. And Simeon must have caught Mary and Joseph off guard because he was the second person to recognize that Jesus was the saviour of all people. It wasn't just the Jews, it was all people. It says in Isaiah 49 of being more than a Messiah to just restore Israel. The Lord's servant will be a light to the Gentiles and will bring salvation to the ends of the earth. But if you read about and look at Jesus' journey throughout the whole of the New Testament and the various stories and parables and things that he did, the Pharisees were more concerned about the law and not who Jesus was or what he was doing. They were more interested in upholding these ancient laws and traditions, not daring to believe or even work with the idea of God's grace that was coming through Jesus being there with them. But they thought that they were waiting for this person to come just to redeem Israel. And they kind of ignored the light of the world a bit. God wants to set us free. It says up there about the two different ways of living. The red way of living by the law and the blue is living under grace. And God wants to set us free from the laws of the Old Testament through his grace, through his son that he sent as our saviour. Simeon prophesies about it in this passage, about how the child will be rejected by many whilst bringing great joy to so many more. With Jesus, there will be no middle ground, however. It's him, all of him, or none of him. Live a life that's worthy of him and connected to God, or don't. It's your choice. It's that simple. And that's the choice each and every person that hears about Jesus has to make. And sometimes the choosing to live with Jesus might seem a bit tough, and there's loads of rules and regulations and things to do, apparently, but that's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to live in freedom from those things. And it's one of those questions, isn't it? Do you want to live a life that's reliant on us making sure that we're right with God and the perceived laws that our faith has, or live reliant on Jesus being right with God on our behalf? They're two very different things. One has us up in worrying about doing the right Christian thing. The other is simply, I'm going to live my life for Jesus because he has me covered. He is my saviour. Do you want to be bound by doing all the things that we perceive that we should do or think? Or are you willing to live at a different pace in step with Jesus? Which might mean slowing down, which might mean using our phones less, which might mean doing things that aren't necessarily the norm, just relaxing and going at his pace rather than the world's pace. Because there is a pressure there, isn't there, to rush around and fit loads in and always do things for others that ask. And yet Jesus just asks us to spend time with him, not worrying about the law, not worrying about what we should or shouldn't do, but actually about how much time are we spending here with him. Not, right, I've got this to do, and then I'll do the God bit, because we rarely fit him in. It's about grace. It's not about law. Some of you might know who those two are. Some of you might not. I just thought, because they were quite a good example of what I'm going to talk about. Are we experts or learners? Do we use dial-up or do we dial in to God? Simeon and Anna held unique positions on both, shared prophecies about how this baby would change the face of the earth. And the face of the world. Within Jewish culture, though, they respected their elders. They were held up and people respected their wisdom that they had. They were not necessarily put on a pedestal, but actually, with the wisdom that they gained, people respected it and wanted to be like them. They wanted to be like the older people and have great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Which is a bit different to today's society, because we are constantly pursuing youthfulness and often write off the old fuddy-duddies because they've had their time and actually stuff's different now, totally different. But actually, to gain wisdom means we need to experience things. To experience things takes time. You can't instantly gain wisdom and experience by going click or looking at Twitter and seeing the next tweet come in. That won't come in. There's not a magic Instagram post that will instantly give you all the wisdom that you need. Experience takes time, and time means we get older. But we do, don't we? We seek, or is it just me thinking this? Does society want us to remain youthful and remain in with those around us? is that right, or is that something that's not quite in line with God? Just think of things like fashion, like music, and lots of other stuff. It runs in cycles, doesn't it? I think Rob spoke about it when he spoke at the last youth led. He talked about actually the way in which different styles of trousers are in, then they're out, and they're in, then they're out. And actually, if you look back over time, much of the stuff that's caught probably was about 20 years ago. With a slight tweak, maybe 30. You work it out. But actually, things go in cycles around. And there are patterns. So if there are patterns for those kinds of things, surely those things were born out of thought. So do our thoughts and way of thinking and way of treating people, be it minorities or majorities, do they also go in cycles? Just a question. Or once someone reaches the age of our parents, they're just old school and have nothing useful. Insight, wisdom, nothing. After Google didn't exist. Years ago, the internet made funny noise. I won't try and replicate them because I have no ideas how to replicate them. I can just hear them in my head. They used to make noise for about 5 minutes, and then your page would load because you would have to dial up. It wasn't instant. It wasn't dial in like it is now. Literally, you flick your phone on, you're there. Or maybe that is just the way I think because I'm way over 30. But I have used a £1 note to buy toys from Chapman's, and I have also used a ring to buy my prescription. I've lived in all the random stages of that process of going from real money to phones or rings that pay for things. Every single part of that journey, which is kind of mad. And when you buy stuff with it, people in the shop are completely freaked out. You just go, paid, and walk off. And no, you need to pay! I have. And the little machine does its thing, and it's done. But I love gadgets. And actually, it leaves us a choice. Are we learners or experts? Do we all know it all or just a little bit, which is a dangerous thing? Do we have experiences to share or do we need guidance to take those first few steps? I want to be a learner, not an expert. I never want to be an expert in anything. I want to know things and I want to get better, but I never want to be an expert. I always try and have an open mind to fresh ideas and new concepts that I can hold and be free to hold up against Jesus' teaching and what it says in the Bible and what God reveals to me through that relationship and through his word of what is right and wrong, what to pick up and what to put down, not simply what others tell me I should do. And the two little characters, just one or two of you are like, who are they? The guy on the left is... he always knew best. He always said, you don't want to do it like that, you want to do it like this. No matter what it was, he was the proverbial expert of pretty much nothing, although he thought he was. Every single time he'd come in and he'd do that exact thing. And the guy on the right, in the case you haven't guessed, was a teenager and life just wasn't fair. If you want to know who they are, Google Harry Enfield. What do you have that you could share with other people? What do you have that you could share with another person, be that an older person or a younger person? Because each and every single one of us has unique experiences that we can share with those that we aren't necessarily thinking would want to hear. So the older generation, people do need to hear some of the stuff and the wisdom and that experience. But also some of us might need help with our technology. That's the easy option. But I'm sure there's more than just help with tech and Instagram. Oh, are you happy just being Mr. Know-it-all and not needing to worry about anything else? Oh, that's a lot whiter on that screen than it was on my home screen at home. 30-mile radius. Why on earth did I talk about a 30-mile radius? Did you know, apparently... I'm not convinced. I'm just clearing that up before someone comes up to me and goes, well, scientifically, you can see a candle from a pretty big distance away. Some would say 30 miles. That's Milton Keynes. I'm not convinced by that personally. I'm a bit dubious. But you can see a candle with no, if there's no other light, it's just blackness. You can see a candle for miles. You can see that light for miles. Anna and Simeon spent a lifetime service, actively engaging with the Holy Spirit that I think empowered them in the service of God's kingdom and the growth of God's kingdom. And they were bright lights in God's eyes. That gave him strength and courage, to share challenging prophetic words about Jesus' life and future ministry. They weren't afraid to say, actually, he is going to be a light, he's going to redeem Israel, and he is going to be a light to the whole world and the Gentiles too. Just slightly different words. 2 Timothy says, the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Psalm 119 speaks of God being a word, being a lamp unto our feet. And Romans says, for everything that is written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. God's word, the Bible, is there for good reason. And Simeon affirmed that Jesus would be a light to the whole world. That's everyone, no matter who they are, no matter how old they are, how young they are, what race, colour, creed, gender, whatever it is, Jesus is there to be a light to all people, regardless of what we may or may not think about the laws of the land. Simeon recognised that Jesus came to bring change. He came to remove the middle ground, to shine a light into the dark places in the world, a light that would shine so brightly that people would be able to see it for miles, that people would be able to connect with it if they choose to. They will be able to see that light across the whole world and not just in a small place. And we're challenged, aren't we? And we're told to not hide the light that's placed within us away, to not hide it so people can't see it. We're told to allow it to be seen, to commit to exploring what God in us looks like and what that light looks as it shines out of us for everybody to see. But that is sometimes quite a scary thing. Because actually, to be fully alive with God and fully committed to God means we have to stand against some things that we don't understand or that people think they're experts on. Simeon was blessed through his devout commitment to God, through his willingness to focus his heart and mind completely on God. And God told him he was going to see the Messiah before in his lifetime. And he saw the Saviour that came to change the world. But actually, like Simeon, his heart was totally focused on serving God and on devout service within God's kingdom. That was it for him, from what I've read. What's our heart focused on? What's your heart focused on, or maybe full of? Is it focused on the value and salvation we place in Jesus and the overflowing of joy? Or is there stuff that's present that impacts what flows out of our heart? That impacts how we connect with God, that makes our radius only a couple of miles, not up to 30. Do you focus so much on the boundaries and the rules that you lose sight of the light that Jesus gives you? Do you focus so much on the law that you forget about his grace? Are you such an expert that you don't want to learn from others, focusing on whether you have X or Y right, but you lose sight of our responsibility to share that light unto the world and to the ends of the earth through sharing the gospel, through knowing the gospel, through reading the word, through worship, through love, through encouragement. There was a real, the service this morning, there was a real tangible presence of God I felt at 11 o'clock when we were worshipping, when I just stood at the back and thought, wow, people get worshipped this morning. People are worshipping God. We're in his presence. And that can be anywhere, anytime. It's all about our heart and whether our heart wants to be full of God and focused on him and full of Jesus' light, or is other stuff crowding it out. So I've talked about loads of different things and loads of different stuff. I've talked about law versus grace, how an abundant life comes out of a life lived out of God's grace. Talked about dialing up or dialing in, and actually how if we just choose to ignore those around us and not dial into what God's got to say or what other people have got to say, we're never going to learn anything, we're never going to grow, and we're never going to blow our mind like Jesus wants to blow it. Just amazing grace. We've talked about how far your radius is. Who are the people around you that need your light, that light that comes from Christ? As I was preparing, I had three things to think about, and I'm going to leave you to think about these three things that come out of what I've prepared, I believe. And there might be some of you here tonight that actually you just need to stand in God's grace and you need more of his grace in your life. You need more of his spirit. You need to just stand there and go, it's about you, God. It's about belonging so that you might change the way I be, the way I am, the way I behave, the way I treat others. Or you might need to look at those around you with fresh eyes. You might not think those that are older than you have something to offer, or those that are younger have anything to offer. Or you might want to desperately share some of your experiences, whether you're old or young, with someone else. And maybe you can ask God tonight, what have I got that I can share, and who shall I share it with? Or do you simply just need to go from this place and let the light of Jesus shine out of you into everyone you meet, encouraging everybody you meet and being like Jesus out there in Kettering? Amen.